Monster Movie Media presents.
And welcome to episode 60 of the Creepy Kingdom podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II, and I'm joined by the evil queen of Creepy Kingdom, Miss Roxy Tart. Hello.
Hello. Happy 60th episode.
60, yeah.
That's awesome. And right now, Disneyland is about to celebrate their 60th year.
Yeah, this is a pretty special episode then, huh?
Look at that.
You know, we have a lot of special episodes, but
every episode is special.
It is indeed. But this one is particularly special because we are going to catch up on some listener email, some listener Facebook messages, and, you know, talk about a few other things that don't merit a whole episode, but, you know, just going to mix it all up there. A little smorgasbord, if you will.
Well, let's be honest. What makes these episodes special are the people listening to them. Like, if it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't have any episodes. We'd just be talking to ourselves, and we could do that on the phone.
Right.
So, thank you. We dedicate this show to you.
Yes, our 60th. To celebrate Disneyland 60th, our 60th episode is going out to you.
That's right. The citizens of the Creepy Kingdom.
So, without any further ado,
let's begin.
Alrighty, well, before we get to those listener emails that we were saying that we were going to get to, I want to talk a little bit about my recent trip to the Monster Mania Horror Convention.
Yes, tell us about that.
Yeah, it took place on March 14th. Oh, I went on March 14th. It took place over a weekend. Back in August, I actually did an episode from the last Monster Mania where I interviewed a whole mess of artists from the show.
Neat.
Yeah, it was cool. I interviewed Lux Luna Glass. Well, that's the name of the company that did an amazing Maleficent stained glass piece. An artist, CJ Draven. Clothing designer, Western Evil. And the winner of the costume contest, Lisa Fisk, because she was dressed as the Queen of Hearts.
Okay, not only was she dressed as the Queen of Hearts, but her scepter.
Yeah.
You guys, you got to go on creepykingdom.com and find this episode so that you can see. I assume we'll put it in the show
notes. Yeah, it'll be in the show notes, yep.
But you got to go and look at this girl's costume and her. She's got a scepter and it's like a big globe on the top full of bloody hearts. It's very impressive.
Yeah, she was telling me, we were talking about that, and she was telling me that that was about 30 pounds, that thing that she was carrying around.
And all of a sudden, it's even more impressive.
So I opted to not do a full episode again, mostly because, Lux on the Glass wasn't there, but the other two artists were there, so, and it was only 6 or so months ago, so we're going to interview them again. And Lisa was there. She has started a company called Rotten Candy, where she does makeup for other people, like horror-based special effects makeup, creepy stuff. And I've actually been running into her several times, ran into her about a month earlier at a horror film marathon, or whatever it was called. what do you want to call it? A movie marathon. So And I didn't even recognize her at first because every time I see her, she looks completely different. So it's like,
that's awesome. Yeah, I since you know I stalk your social media because as your Disney BFF, I feel the need to do that.
True.
But yeah, I remember you posted some pictures of her, and I was like, that's cool.
Yeah. So this is cool. Yeah. So she unfortunately was not dressed over the top at Monster Mania because she had a wedding to go to earlier that day, and apparently it was not a creepy wedding. So
I hate when that happens.
Yeah,
I really do.
It's a bummer. It wasn't a creepy wedding, but either way, there was still a little bit of a creepy Disney fun to be found here this time around. So one of the things I did get of, you know, there's a few good cosplayers there that I got some pics of. I got a picture with one of them. There was a girl dressed as Twisted Snow White. Now, if you're not familiar with why I say Twisted, that there is a series of princess drawings where they look all creepy and people repost them all the time for the past. They've been circulating for the past 5 or 6 years. Have you seen these?
I have.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome. The artist's name escapes me right now. Sorry, dude. I think it's Jeff Toons, actually. Yes, I believe that's the artist's name, or that's his username. I'm sure it doesn't go by Jeff Toon. But so
that's his real name. Yes. He's meant to draw cartoons.
It's meant to.
Obviously.
So yeah. So this girl was.
It is in fact Jeff Toon.
Excellent. That's all right. Let's speak it off memory there. So. Yeah, no, this girl was dressed as Twisted Snow White, and that was pretty impressive. I actually got a picture with her, and that's a picture I posted on my personal social media. Actually, I think I posted on Creepy Kingdom, too, yeah. But stirred up a lot of conversations.
But I love this guy, just for the record. I love this guy. I love his art.
Oh, yeah. It's Jeff Toon's awesome. Stuff is amazing. I definitely would love to have him on the show. People post his stuff all the time without giving him credit or respect.
On my old Facebook page, I actually had an entire photo folder dedicated to this guy's work.
Before you had to start over.
What?
You mean before you had to start over with a new Facebook?
Yeah. Yeah, before I had to start over at my new Facebook page, facebook.com, welcome to Roxy's World.
Oh, is that where it is? I didn't know where to find you on the internet.
I'm just throwing that out there, you know, like you do. This guy's awesome, though. He's such a good artist. You guys, Google him if you haven't seen his work. He did a recent picture of Vanellope from Wreck-It Ralph that is so cool.
Yeah, that one's great. That's the last one. The latest one he's done, and that was about a little over a year ago, or probably longer than that, because Wreck-It Ralph came out 2 years ago now, right? I don't know. Time flies. I thought that was 1 year ago, but yeah, no, it was 2 years ago. Yeah, so yeah, that stuff's great. Every once in a while, I see pictures of people cosplaying as the Twisted versions, but this first one I saw in IRL in real life, and said this picture really. Stir up a lot of controversy. Also, not controversy, but I don't know, people were talking about it. Yeah, so what did you think of this this Snow White, Twisted Snow Knight lady?
I think she looks awesome. I think it's a really good costume. And I think I think the whole idea of mixing, well, this I don't even have to say this, but I think the whole idea of mixing Disney and horror is really cool.
Do you?
And I love when people cosplay Twisted Disney horror stuff. I don't really think that needed to be stated, actually, since, you know, I'm on a show called Creepy Kingdom.
Yeah, well, why not?
I hate when people mix Disney and horror. It's totally not my thing.
So inappropriate.
Right? How dare they? Scare little kids and stuff.
And again, I ran into what I would describe as a zombie Cinderella. You know, I assume she made that choice because of the film. Was just released, and I thought she was pretty impressive. I mean, basically, what both Snow White and Cinderella have done here is taken traditional costumes and messed them up. which, you know, I think is a cool idea. You know, it's
you go wrong.
You know, unfortunately, they're not selling, you know, bloody messed up Disney princess dresses yet.
We'll see that happening anytime soon, James. Just gonna throw that out there.
A boy can dream. no, but you don't want to do that anyway. It's all fun to make it your own, and you know, and you don't want to have the same exact blood stains on all your princess dresses, right?
Oh, they do actually. It's funny because they do sell an Alice in Wonderland dress, a creepy Alice in Wonderland dress, just at the, you know, Spirit or whatever.
Oh, really?
Hmm. I needed at the very last minute, at the beginning of October one year, I needed a torn up Alice outfit or something close to it. Mm-hmm. And so I ran down to Spirit had just opened. I ran down there to see if I could find something that I could use for it.
Right.
Because I needed it to look super costumey. And lo and behold, they had one with the apron. It was all torn up. It even had blood already on the dress.
Wow. How convenient.
So it was very convenient. It was all super tacky. And like, it would have been so much better if I had done it myself. But they do actually have some of those that they sell. So.
What a world we live in, guys.
Right.
2015. You know, we can video chat with pocket computers, and you can buy a pre bloodstained Alice in Wonderland costume.
It's a good world that we live in. Good world.
The last bit of Disney cosplay I saw was that a young man had dressed up as Locke from the trio from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, that's cool.
Which, yeah, it was a little bit of a simple costume, but it was effective, I thought. And also kind of creepy. Also, it's really interesting. So he's got a red jacket on, the mask is red, and he's got like a white button-up shirt underneath. And there's just like a few little smears of blood on it, which I find to be actually creepier than being completely covered in blood.
Right.
You know, because it's like, you know, he didn't quite clean up as much as he wanted to, but he made an effort to clean up, which means that he was really trying to cover up something there, you know? Like, you know, the other costumes look like they're just bathed in blood, really. They're just, you know, like,
totally.
But he's like, yeah, well, you know, sometimes I get my hands a little dirty.
Are we going to have all of these pictures in our show notes?
We sure are. They will be in
the show
notes.
That's awesome.
And they will be on social media as well.
Good. Good, good, good. Because I've seen the Snow White girl, but I'm not sure I saw the guy. So I'd like to see that.
No, I didn't post them yet.
Shame on you.
I just immediately posted the Snow White one, because the one with me, because she had a knife to my throat. That one's already out there on the internet, but I have another one without me of her. I'll post. Just
like that. Nice.
In case you don't want to see that. Someone had asked where I got my shirt when I posted that. Most people didn't recognize what my shirt was. I had one person say, sweet shirt.
It's the portrait from the Haunted Mansion, isn't it?
It most certainly is. It is the Medusa face there.
God, do you even Disney, bro?
I mean, I wasn't. I meant.
Who wouldn't know that?
At the horror convention, only one person knew what it was. And I was kind of faced with this dilemma. I didn't respond to them, but I figured we could just bring this up now. Is, you know, I want to help people out, and I want to, you know, give out, you know, good advice and do all these great things, but some things I need, you know, I need to kind of keep to myself sometimes, right? Like, I want to give away all my tricks and secrets.
No, absolutely not.
You know, especially when it comes to Disney shirts, because so many people have the same stuff.
Yep. No, I have that problem all the time. I have that problem. People ask me where I get my clothes, where I get my wigs, where I, you know, what color lipstick I'm wearing. Like, depending on the question, absolutely, I will tell you. Go and get it. You know, but some of them, no, you gotta keep that to yourself so you can be your individual self.
Yeah, yeah. I searched hard for that shirt.
So while we're on the topic, where'd you get that shirt, James?
And it's funny. I mean, I would tell. I literally can't remember the name of the website.
He just doesn't want to tell us, you guys.
I'm like, oh my God, why can't? And the funny thing about it was that I just was cleaning out my desk and I had the business card that came with the shirt. And I'm like, what do I need this for? And I tossed the card. And then someone asked me that question. And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe if I search through my emails for receipts or something, I could figure it out. But
I don't know. Do you guys believe him? Write in. Post on social media whether you believe James that he has lost the information for this shirt.
I lost
it. He just doesn't want to share with us.
I'll dig through the trash right now on the show.
Oh, my God. He's really digging through the trash.
Let's see.
You guys, we're recording this over video, and I'm legitimately watching him dig through the garbage to find.
I don't know. I'm not seeing any cards in here. It might have been another trash bag ago.
All right. I believe you. If you could share, you would. We're gonna pause while James goes and washes his hands.
Purell. It's just paper there. It's not like my kitchen trash can. There's no food in there. I'm not that gross. Jeez. Anywho, the last time at Monster Mania, I scored some really sweet DVDs that I was really, really, really excited about. Because I had never heard of them before. One was the Haunted Mansion story, a four-disc set. Another one was the Pirates of the Caribbean, History of the Attraction. And another one was a bootleg of Song of the South. So I had quite a Disney score.
Yeah, no joke.
So I was there. That Haunted Mansion DVD, which I do talk about on that episode, which is... I will link to it, but it's episode 31, if you want to find it real quick. Is what ended up being was that basically... I forget the name of the website now, but something I never heard of before. But anyway, it's basically a fan, you know, documentary from the early 2000s. And it's got some great interviews on there and a lot of great stuff on there. I mean, it's an unofficial thing. It's not an official thing at all. And then they made the Pirates one as well, which was kind of cool. But there's a lot of stuff to Haunted Mansion, which I feel like we're going to get into a little bit later based on some of our emails. But anyways... So yeah, but this time around, I found a DVD which I didn't get, and I really regret it. And now I'm just like, oh, now I gotta wait till next time.
Nothing haunts us like the things we don't buy.
I know. I should have just gotten it. So it's this thing called Dr. Sin. It says Walt Disney's Dr. Sin, with Sin with a Y. So you're like, what the hell is that? And it says, a.k.a. the Scarecrow of Romney Marsh. And maybe some point in the past year, I came across some kind of thing that says Walt Disney's Scarecrow. I know I posted it on Creepy Kingdom social media. I was just kind of like, I have no idea what this is. I've never even heard of it. But apparently this is a Disney film that... I don't think has been like officially released, because when you find these things at these horror conventions, they sell a lot of like bootleg stuff that's out of print, you know, that you can't get, you know, like Star Wars Christmas special, you know, and stuff like that. You can always find that. It's Song of the South, another example. So yeah, I don't know much about this.
I think we need to put together a little research party and find out what we can and do a show on it.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I guess I should have bought it. So sorry, guys.
You really should have bought it. You should have channeled your inner Roxy Tart and bought it.
I don't know. It's really confusing, actually. It's like, I feel like it might have been part of some TV special or from the 60s. It's a live action thing, it looks like. I don't know. Whatever it is, Disney sure has tried to bury it under the rug, because no one's ever heard of it before.
Well, we will go all Nancy Drew on it and see what we can find out. And hey, guys, if you know anything about this Disney Scarecrow Sin thing, let us know.
Oh, definitely.
Help us out. Like,
help us help you so we can help others.
Moving on.
Moving on, so yeah, that's. I just wanted to bring up a little bit. It didn't merit its own episode, but just a little bit of little creepy Disney stuff found at the latest Monster Mania, which took place in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, March 14th, 2015.
It looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah, and if you would like to see way more pictures of non-Disney stuff from that I took, they have been posted on the website nightmarishconjurings.com, which is a new website that I am contributing to in photograph form. If you like horror and horror haunted attractions,
go check them out. They're very cool.
There's a pretty strong chance you do.
Right? That's,
maybe. I don't know. But either way, check that out. So let's get to the meat and potatoes here. Potatoes. I got real New York there.
Right? Every once in a while, your accent, like.
Well, I have this problem where I do these little voices and accents in a mocking manner, and then people think that's just part of how I talk, and it's, you know.
Although you know you live on the East Coast, right? Like, you have lived in New Jersey for a really long time, and I'm telling you right now, every once in a while,
yeah,
it escapes.
I don't know. I think I always sound like I'm from California.
Uh-huh.
People, you know, everyone always said, oh, you know, when I say I'm from California, it's like, oh, I could tell you sound like you're from California. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe it does. What do you guys think? You guys think I sound like I'm from New Jersey or California? Roxy thinks that I escapes. All right, let's get to some emails. Our first email comes from Crystal, who had emailed us before saying that, and I'm paraphrasing, that she had discovered the show and I'd almost listened to all the episodes, and that was pretty impressive. We were pretty blown away by that.
Right? Crystal might be one of our biggest fans. Like, she just tore through those episodes, which is so awesome.
Yeah, we, as of this episode, have released 86 episodes.
Jesus.
It's like, you might be confused since it's episode 60, but in case you're a new listener, we release an episode every day in October of 2014, and only 6 of those were counted as full-length episodes, so that's why we get 86.
October was a busy month in the Creepy Kingdom. I thought James was going to have a creepy heart attack.
that was insane. I was just recalling that recently. It was also literally the busiest month the entire year for like running my business. So it was like I was out of my mind. I was constantly shooting and then putting out shows every day. That was crazy.
So if you want to hear some crazy Creepy Kingdomness, go back to October and listen to the 31 episodes of Creepy Kingdom.
Yeah, about, you know, 15 or so I had guest hosts, though. You know, if you want a break from listening to us ramble on, you can hear some other people for those some things in the mix.
Why would you want a break from listening to us? I don't think that's very funny. Do you not love me, citizens of Creepy Kingdom?
Everyone loves you. Relax.
Don't piss me off.
Anywho,
remember my title, okay? I might sound nice, but you don't want to see me angry.
Wow, now you're getting all riled up. We haven't even gotten to all the emails yet, so...
All right.
So Crystal writes, "Hey, James, thanks for reading my last email. However, just so you know, my last name is Dudgeon, not Dungeon. Now, I hope I pronounced your name correct this time, Crystal." So that was, you know, that was a slip there. I kind of thought that Crystal Dungeon was a cool name, and so maybe that was kind of like why I just my brain was just like, yes, sweet name. But that is not
me too. I thought that was a really cool name, like Crystal Dungeon. What a great like screen name. That's awesome. But
and just don't worry, you're not the only one to spell it wrong. I have listened to all of your episodes now, which that's awesome because she was almost caught up in the last email. And then she says, "Say hi to Roxy for me, Crystal."
Hi.
Well, I have to say hi, Roxy.
Yeah.
Crystal says hi.
Hi.
All right, I'll let her know. So yeah, I mean that's So we're sorry for pronouncing your name wrong.
We probably did it again.
Yeah, we probably didn't still pronounce it right.
Here's what we need you to do. We need you to get on Instagram and film a video of yourself pronouncing your name and tag us in it so we know how to pronounce your name.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because you're on Instagram and you tag us and stuff all the time. You could do that, and then
that
we'll know.
Awesome. And anyone else that would like to tell us how to pronounce their name, feel free. We're happy to watch.
At Creepy Kingdom on Instagram.
All right, so our next email comes from Sherry. Yeah. And the subject is Disney's A Christmas Carol 2009. James, I just ran across Disney's A Christmas Carol on the television. It's definitely going into my creepy Disney films top 10 list. Seriously, who was the Disney executive who thought this was a good idea?
Wow. I haven't seen this movie. Have you?
I want to say yes, but now I really feel like I should look it up. Because how many have they made? Like, are we?
I don't think they've made that many. I mean, there's Mickey's Christmas Carol, and then there's Mickey, then there's the Muppets Christmas Carol.
This is the one with Jim Carrey.
And this is the one with Jim Carrey, yeah.
Aha. No, I have not seen this. It just, it looks creepy because Jim Carrey looks creepy.
Well, the thing, Robert Zemeckis, director, right?
Yes.
The amazing person that brought us Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And Back to the Future. Yeah, he started doing these films that were motion capture. So they're animated, but people would put on, like, you know, a million things all over their body and act out scenes, I guess, to make it more realistic. And it comes off as kind of creepy. I guess the first one he did of that was the Polar Express, if anyone's seen
that.
Oh,
yeah.
And the last one he did, which I don't think anyone saw because apparently it was not successful, was Mars Needs Moms. Did you see that one?
I did not watch that. No.
Oh, I didn't know, you know.
You're right. It's possible. I watch a lot of weird stuff.
You're a mom, right?
I am a mom, and I was thinking about taking a vacation to Mars, so I guess I should watch it. But I did not, so shame on me. No, I think it's awesome that Sherry wrote in and told us this because now I want to watch this movie. Yeah. We should watch it, James, and do an episode.
Yeah, might hold off till like Christmas time.
That should give us plenty of time to get it. You guys, we have this little thing. We have this issue, James and I, about movies. We do the creeping soon. When the trailers come out, we've seen the trailers, and then we cannot seem to coordinate seeing the same movie.
Right, in the theater, yeah.
Yeah, we're having a little issue with this. So the fact that we have until Christmas to watch this movie, there is a good chance that we'll have actually both seen it.
Yeah, let's keep our fingers crossed on that one. So, no, I mean, there's not that many Christmas Disney things to talk about. So as the show goes on over the years, you know, it's definitely a good topic to discuss.
Yeah, good call, Sherry.
Or creepy Christmas Disney things, to be specific. So yeah, thanks for writing in again, Sherry. And hopefully we're saying your name correctly as well.
Oh, I hope so. No, but that's it. We're just going to butcher every name. We're going to be like the baristas at Starbucks.
No, that's an art form, what the baristas at Starbucks do. All right, so now we're going to read some things that have been left on our Facebook wall. That's facebook.com/creepykingdom. Just so you know, every social media thing, Creepy Kingdom.
It's really easy to find.
Yep. All right. This little post here was left by Creepy Kingdom contributor Adam Leonard, the first participant or entry or whatever word I'm thinking of in the Creepy Kingdom Hall of Fame. And he writes, "Hey, James, did you ever confirm when those UK gents were looking to do four parks in one day? I was already planning on vacation in October and hoping to hit up Disney World and Halloween Horror Nights. Is there any possibility of a Creepy Kingdom meetup in general?" All right. So this is referencing, of course, the episode we did a few weeks ago where Craig Lucas wrote in and asked, he said he only had one day to be in Walt Disney World. What should he do? And then Roxy and I took that and ran with it and came with a complete itinerary of the one-day Creepy Kingdom tour.
It was kind of awesome.
It was. That was actually one of my favorite things we've ever done.
Me too. I think that if we could be there in October at the same time that they were going to be there, that we totally should.
Yeah, that date is the October 19th of 2015. I don't know whether I am going to be able to or not. I think by the time that I was tentatively planning to return to Orlando was in late September, early October, which obviously that doesn't cross over with October 19th is not part of that that window. So I'm not quite sure if we're going to actually, because like, I think we had joked that we'll do it with you. We'll do the.
I'm going to throw it out there right now. If I can get to Disney World that weekend, I'm in California. So if I can get to Disney World that weekend, I will make it happen. Hmm. And I will do this. And if James can't be there, then I will host the Creepy Kingdom meetup.
Oh, well. That's the way you said that. You're just like, you should have seen her body language when she said that.
We'll Skype you in. I'll bring my phone and we'll Skype you into the meetup.
All right.
Somebody's got to be there. Come on now.
True, but either way, and even if I don't, one of us doesn't make it there for October 19th, there definitely will be another Creepy Kingdom meetup in Walt Disney World. You know, that's kind of something I like to try to keep going every time that I go to the area. Grant Duvall on Twitter, he actually had asked about a meetup as well. So if you're listening, hello, Grant. And so, yeah, you know. We definitely want to meet up. So,
yay, meet up.
So nothing is planned, but, you know.
And Disneyland, don't feel left out, like West Coast people, because we'll be doing Disneyland meetups too. Don't you worry.
Yeah, I think those will be happening more often, pretty often. And, yeah, Disneyland Paris people.
We'll go there too. Let's do it right now. I'm on an air. My passport expired. Never mind. I got to get a new passport and then let's do this.
All right. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely fun to meet up and, you know, and just chat and hang out. But I always want to like do something else. Like I want to have like something else to do. I just don't know what it is. Like some kind of activity to like take the meetup to the next level.
We should do a scavenger hunt.
That's awesome. There you go, live on the air.
I Keegan and I have been talking about making a Disney scavenger hunt forever. And we could make a creepy Disney scavenger hunt. That would be so awesome.
Wow. I'm excited.
Let's do this. All right, you heard it here first, folks. We will update you as we could. As we work on this project, I need a list of stuff we've come up to do on this show.
Yeah, we have a lot of things added to our to-do list after this episode.
Right, we got a scavenger hunt to plan. We got meetups to plan. We got a scarecrow to Nancy Drew. Got a lot to do.
Indeed. All right, let's move on to our next one here.
Our next Facebook message is from Derek Dante. I just listened to your Phantom Theater episode. It was great and really brought me back. I grew up going to Kings Island during the 70s and 80s, and yes, at the beginning, it was very Disney-esque. There were plenty of live shows, including a dolphin show and a puppet show. There was a monorail-type safari ride, and even had all the different areas separated with different themes, such as Coney Island, Riverland, and Hanna-Barbera Land. Oh, that's cool. Over the years, it morphed from an Ohio Disney park to a more traditional theme park, and then for a decade became pretty much a prototype for the Universal Studios-style theme park. And now, it's mainly a coaster park in the same theme as Cedar Point. It has one of the best kiddie lands around, but nowhere near the finance team level of the previous Hanna-Barbera or even Nickelodeon lands. But most of all, I really effin' miss the Enchanted Voyage. I love Scooby-Doo and a lot of the Hanna-Barbera cartoons as a kid, and I always rode the Voyage several times when I went to Kings Island. I loved it just as much as any dark ride at Disney World, which says a lot. If I could go back in time, it would probably be to somewhere around 1976, so I could take one last boat ride to say hi to the snail at the entrance and take one last dip down the clown's mouth. Aww.
So, yeah, this was an episode that we did on January 16th, episode 51.
Oh, that was my birthday.
Yeah, we did it in your honor. And obviously. yeah, I did Annie from Annie Dance Fast Pass podcast brought this up. This is a park that she grew up going to. And there was a ride that used to be there called Phantom Theater, which was kind of a Haunted Mansion ripoff. But before it was this Haunted Mansion ripoff, it was this Fantastic Voyage ride, which she said that she rode as a kid but didn't remember because she was really young. Which was basically a boat ride into seeing people from the characters from Hanna-Barbera, which apparently, I guess, was pretty decent quality.
We here in California in the Bay, we have Great America. Mm-hmm. And when I was little, it was Hanna-Barbera's Great America. So I think it's really interesting that he brought that up. I thought I kind of thought it was the only one, but it was a Hanna-Barbera park. We had that same kind of stuff with the rides,
the whole park?
All the characters and stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was owned by Hanna-Barbera, and then the kids' part of the park was all, like, the cartoon-themed, and it had, like, roller coasters and stuff like that, but it was a really cool park. We used to go there all the time when I was little.
Wow, is it a Six Flags park now?
No, now it is owned by California. Okay. It was Hanna-Barbera. It was owned by Paramount for a little bit, and now it's just California's Great America.
Oh, okay, because I know there's a park called Six Flags Great America. I just don't know where it is.
Yes, not here.
All right. Very cool. Yeah, well, I'm glad that you enjoyed that episode, and thanks for writing in, sharing your memories. I know it's a little late on that, but it's never too late in Creepy Kingdom.
We like that we brought you some good childhood memories back.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
And by we, I mean they, because I wasn't on that episode.
No, she was not. And it was mostly Annie, because it was her memories. She brought out, she kind of steered the ship on that one, because I did not experience this at all. So, very, very cool. Alrighty. Our last Facebook post here is from Frank Elder. And he wrote, I read this and thought it'd be a great topic for Creepy Kingdom, and he linked to this article on themeparktourist.com. And if I had that up, that'd be cool. No, there it is. Oh. And it is a great topic, and it's something I think was kind of fun for us to kind of talk about here and dive into. The subject is 5 horrible quote-unquote deaths at Disney theme parks that never really happened.
Yep.
So these are, I guess, rumors that have people start to believe, circulate. Some of these I've heard of, some I haven't.
And there's a lot of these stories out there. Mm-hmm. It's like people really want stuff like this to have happened at Disney parks. Disney parks are so good and so clean and so happy that, you know, people want something bad to have happened there. So they have something to talk about, some kind of controversy and stuff. And right. So someone makes up a rumor and tells someone else. And eventually, years later, people think that it happened. So I think this is a really cool episode because it's 5 Disney deaths that never actually happened. Well, it's really neat.
I think this happens with Disney in general. I mean, the thing is that some things are true. So it just makes everyone believe everything that's out there. Like, you know, especially a lot of the rumors from, you know, the Disney films from the 80s is that there are a lot of things that were snuck into the movies that were inappropriate.
Yes, the rumor that the artists during the Disney Renaissance 80s and Disney Renaissance era were not happy, so they decided to stick it to the man and sneak all this stuff in. And people see what they want to see.
Oh, yeah. Are you trying to say that there's not things in there that are blatantly put in there?
I think that there are, but I don't think that there are as many as people would like to believe.
All right.
You know, seriously, I mean, come on, people really see what they want to see.
Oh, sure.
And if you point something out and you're like, this is this, you know, people are going to look at it and be like, oh, you're totally right. Yes. And the other people are going to look at it and be like, I don't see it. So
right. I just brought up to say there are things that were actually true. That's awesome.
Yes, absolutely. But it's the same thing. People really have died at the Disney parks, obviously.
Yeah,
people die all over the place. So it's really easy to spread these stories and people to think that they're true.
True. So let's hop into it. Because I feel like we're about to open a can of worms. It's going to be its whole episode. All right, so number 5, Mickey Mouse was electrocuted after being thrown into the Seven Seas Lagoon. That, of course, is the body of water between the parking lot and the Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World that serves no purpose but to slow you down from getting into the park.
It's pretty.
No, it makes you feel like you're actually going somewhere, like, as opposed to, you know, where, you know, for years before DCA, where you could just feel like you could just park almost at the entrance of Disneyland and walk inside. Yep. Here's the story. During one of the raucous grad nights at Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom, Mickey Mouse was thrown into the Seven Seas Lagoon by a group of overexcited and probably drunk high school graduates. Mickey died after being electrocuted when an air conditioning unit in his costume was submerged in the water. Sorry.
Wow, those are some strong batteries.
Air conditioning units?
Yeah. I mean, okay, we're in Florida, so if I didn't know any better, I might actually believe that there was a little, you know, fan.
Wishful thinking. Oh, my gosh.
Air conditioning. So, like, I could believe that. You know, if I didn't know better, I could believe that. But if you actually want me to believe that the batteries that run that thing are so strong that you could electrocute a person.
The truth. There's no evidence that Mickey was thrown into the lagoon, nor is there any record of his costume having included equipment that would have caused his electrocution.
I'd like to know. I have never been a character at Walt Disney World. Do we have listeners that were characters? Can you please let us know if there are air conditioning units built into Mickey Mouse costumes? Inspired minds want to know.
I love the – it didn't even say like you said a fan or something. Like that's something that actually is more believable. Like an air conditioning unit. Like something that would like hum like – and then
like – there's like little Freon things in the ears, you know, or like – yeah. I believe it. I totally believe it.
The water drips out, you know. Like.
Oh, God. All right. Number 4. The Magic Kingdom's Pirates of the Caribbean is haunted by a dead welder named George. The story. At the Magic Kingdom, cast members working on Pirates of the Caribbean warn newcomers about the ghost of George, which supposedly haunts the attraction. George is said to have been killed during the construction of the ride, either by electrocution or by a falling beam. This is one of those stories that, unlike Mickey Mouse being electrocuted, totally could have happened.
Right.
You know, that sounds realistic. But the truth is, the reality is that there was no George, and that nobody died during the construction of Pirates of the Caribbean. In the excellent Reality Land, author David Coing speculates that it's probably an amalgamation of two workers who actually died in the years following the attraction's opening elsewhere at Walt Disney World. One was killed during the construction of the aluminum boat for the Seven Seas Lagoon, while the other was electrocuted while working in a tunnel.
All right, I have some things to say about this one. So we've actually had this topic brought up twice before on Creepy Kingdom. Once when the aforementioned Adam Leonard came on the show. He is a former cast member at Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom from Pirates of the Caribbean. And one of the things he says that every night before, you know, they leave the ride for the night, that one cast member has to say goodnight, George. And if they don't, the next day, something always is majorly screwed up. So they do say that every night.
So it's not true, but it is a really cool little Disney urban legend that has sparked a
tradition.
Yeah, that. Thanks, James.
Well, I said we also had on during Creepy Days when we mentioned that we had Disney historians from Communicore Weekly did a whole episode on just this topic, and I don't know about this Realityland book. I've never heard of it before, but this is the one I'm challenging. There seems to be that there was a George.
We could legitimately do some homework and get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Add that to the list.
No, I'm not going to say, you know, we could talk about paranormal stuff, what you believe, what you don't believe. You know, that's not the topic I bring up here. I'm just saying I think there was a George from what I've heard. And they still say goodnight, George, so he doesn't screw up the ride.
Out of all of them, this one is definitely the one that is, it's the least ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A guy that was working there, building the ride, died. Like that, especially when you give the time period that the ride was built and, you know, how different safety procedures were then and stuff like that. This one could be true.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know why they didn't mention this goodnight George thing at all, because I feel like that's like super, maybe because it makes it not sound like it's
right.
Not true. I don't know. That would be against the point of this article. All right, let's move on to number 3. Disneyland's Haunted Mansion was changed because it scared a guest to death.
I wish you guys could see my eye roll right now.
Shortly after Disneyland's Haunted Mansion opened, a rider was so terrified that he died of a fright-induced, quote-unquote, heart attack. Disney closed the ride and retooled it to make it less scary. The truth, while the Haunted Mansion's construction was horribly delayed, it began in 1962, but the ride didn't open to the public till 1969, no such changes to the ride have been made. The legend likely springs from the fact that the facade of the mansion was finished in 1963, leading guests to speculate about what it contains, particularly after it was featured in a 1965 episode of Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color. So yeah, then that's pretty much the story, is that a lot of speculation built up about what was in there in the, you know, what was that, 7 years since the facade was built to run the ride up. Could you imagine something like that? No. I mean,
no.
Disney's pretty slow at building rides these days, but if they actually had a facade up for 7 years.
No, that is crazy.
Now, there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of things that happened during that time. The development of the Haunted Mansion, which I've gotten here so many different bits and pieces of stories. There's books I've read. There's that aforementioned DVD that I got. Is one of the most complicated and craziest things that Imagineering has ever done. You know, and too many people wanted their own take in it. And also this is during the part where Walt Disney got really sick and passed away. And so he had... So obviously he was steering the project and then he wasn't, and it's crazy.
I mean, really, if you need a reason to look at and be like, why did this go on for so long? That's your reason. You know, Walt Disney got sick and he died and he ran everything. He had his hand in everything at the park. So it makes sense that they would have to take a step back and be like, okay, Walt's gone, you know, what do we do?
But I do feel like whatever happened and with this attraction is like lightning in a bottle. Like all these different things that came into play, the conflicts, the changes, Walt not leading the project anymore. Like, you know, I feel like it turned out perfectly. So it's like,
well, you know, we all know, anyone that's a fan of the Haunted Mansion knows that the Haunted Mansion is really two different visions. Mm. You know, there's the first part, which is a little darker and a little creepier, and then you get to the graveyard scene, which is a little more fun, a little more campy and whatnot. But if there was any way possible that this rumor was true, I want to see the Haunted Mansion before they changed it. Okay. Let's go back in time and see that, because I want to see the mansion that scared someone to death.
I can't even imagine what that would be in 1969 at Disneyland.
Right? Like, I just, no. So false. So false. So false. On to number two.
All right.
The Magic Kingdom's Space Mountain decapitated a rider. The story. A panicked guest stood up while riding Space Mountain. He was struck by a low-hanging metal ridge, and he arrived back at the station with his head missing.
Wow. Wow.
The truth. This is an urban legend, most likely created by adults to discourage children from attempting to stand up on roller coasters. Standing up on Space Mountain would actually be a very difficult thing to do. There are suggestions that this myth derives from Imagineering discovering a decapitated test dummy during the ride's creation, but even those are unproven.
Yeah, I have heard of that, actually, the test dummy thing before. So that's probably what it is.
So you guys can't actually see this while we're talking, obviously. I'm sure that we can link to it. But in the photo for this particular section, it's some kids and Goofy riding the ride. And Goofy, I don't know if you guys have met him or not, but is very tall, especially with his hat. He's very tall. He is about the height of someone if they were to stand up on the ride.
Especially, yeah, with these kids that are in front of them. Yeah.
You know? So I am pretty positive that this one is just made up, because otherwise... this one seems so stupid to me. Because, A, you've got a picture of Goofy who legitimately his hat is as tall as someone would be if they stood up on this ride. And, B, you can ride this ride with your hands in the air the whole time. People are scared to do it. They think their hands are going to hit.
Right.
But they won't. You know, a tall person can put their hands up and not hit. So unless the person that stood up and was decapitated was like 7 feet tall, like...
First of all, how can you stand up? Like, you're in restraints.
That too. Like, I mean, it's just a lap bar, so I guess.
No. The Magic Kingdom Space Mountain it's not just a lap bar. Like, it really pushes down on most of your leg.
It's a very uncomfortable ride, actually.
Yeah. Because not to be confused with the Disneyland version, you know, it's similar to how the Matterhorn.
Yeah, the bobsleds are.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's like no way you could even stand up.
No. No, that one's just ridiculous.
Like, you could maybe like stretch, like, and try. But even then, like, maybe if the tallest, like a 7 foot person, stretching as much as they can to up forward and lifting their arm as far up as they can that might touch their finger, but they certainly wouldn't lose their head.
No. This is, I totally agree with what the thing says. This is an urban legend that was made up to scare kids into staying in their seats.
So sit down, kids.
Sit down, everyone. Okay. Don't get up on ride. Don't be stupid. I can't stress that enough. Don't be stupid when you're on a ride.
Got it.
Thank you. I really needed to just throw that out there.
And number one, Disneyland Skyway was closed because a rider fell to his death. The story. Disneyland Skyway was closed in 1994 because a guest fell out of one of its cable cars and died. The truth. A man did fall from the Skyway in April 1994. He landed near a tree in the Alice in Wonderland ride and was treated for minor injuries. He claimed he had fallen out of the car and sued Disney, but later admitted he had, in fact, climbed out of it. The Skyway was shut down for economic reasons.
So I actually remember this. I remember this happening. I remember this, the story of all of this.
I actually don't.
Really?
Yeah, I really don't.
Yeah. I remember this. I was a teenager at the time, mm-hmm. and I was kind of morbid. And, you know, I've always loved Disney. So I remember this story. What And I don't remember, like, when it actually happened. I don't remember being on the news. But I remember the rumors that the Skyway had closed because this guy had fallen out of it and died. And then I remember that, you know, all of these people were like, no, this did not happen. Yes, someone fell out. You know, he was just hurt, but he didn't even fall. He climbed out. He did it on purpose. It was a whole scam. Like, so I do. I remember all this. Also, I just want to point out that the Skyway's ride cars were called buckets, not cable cars. Just going to.
Yeah, I was confused by that actually when I first
read it. To the person who wrote this article, if you're listening, Nick Sim.
Hey, you're calling your boy out.
Those are Skyway buckets, not Skyway cable cars. Just
calling your boy out.
Do you even Disney, bro?
He seems to be an East Coaster based on this on this website, so maybe he doesn't know. Well, I mean, they had it at Magic Kingdom too. But anyways, and it's odd I don't remember hearing about this because this was definitely a time that I was going to the parks pretty regularly when I lived in Southern California. So I definitely had been there. Like, I might have even been there during that month, actually, in April 1990. You know, just news didn't really circulate that easily before the internet.
No, no, did not.
Especially as a vagrant teen, I wasn't, like, reading the newspaper and watching the late news, you know.
I have always been really big on research. Even, you know, even before the internet, even when I was little, I was always been really, really big on research. When I want to know something, I want to learn everything there is to learn about it.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been that way, so that's probably why I remember this.
That's cool.
I also remember when I was little, my dad took me to Disneyland, and we were riding the Skyway. It was me and him and his girlfriend and his girlfriend's daughter, and I was looking over. I was on my knees on a little bench looking over the side, and he was like, you should sit down before you fall, and I said, what if I jumped? If I jumped, would I live? And he was like, sit down.
Wow.
But I was really legitimately curious. I remember legitimately being curious about, you know, what I didn't understand it then, but like the physics of like of a fall and from heights and stuff like that. You know, would I live if I hit? Could I hit a tree? Could I land on a building top? Like.
Well, good thing you didn't find out the hard way.
I know, right? Thanks, Dad, for telling me to sit my butt down.
I do miss the Skyway though. I thought it was fun. I loved my favorite part of it was going to the Matterhorn. I always thought that was really cool.
Me too.
I guess it cost too much money to run.
I don't know. Sad though. It was a cool ride.
Yeah, I think those are just like done everywhere. Because they used to have one of those at my local Six Flags, Great Adventure. And that he's huge.
As far as I know, we still have one at the former Hanna-Barbera's Great America.
Ooh, that's got there right. The one at Great Adventure was terrifying. It was like probably three times the height of like the one at Disneyland and like, like twice as long.
We also have one at the Boardwalk in Santa Cruz, which the Boardwalk it's on the beach, right? So you've got the ocean and the beach, and then the Boardwalk is raised.
Okay.
So this Skyway on top of the Boardwalk that's right on the edge. So when you look down, you're looking at the sand. It looks terrifying. It is not. It's not as high as you think it is, but it looks terrifying.
Yeah, they have one at Seaside Heights as well. Which if since you're over the sand, you're just like, I could jump out of here. I'm just gonna land on sand.
Right. Well, that's how I felt at Disneyland. I could jump out of here. I just have to land on a tree, like. I could hit that building.
Right. But why do
I'm so glad I have a responsible dad to take care of me.
Well, Frank, that was a great topic for the show, and thanks for bringing it to our attention.
Yeah, Frank, you rock.
Well, it is about time to wrap it up, but before we go, we have some things that we would like to let you know. Now, to reiterate, what is the theme of this episode is that you can get in touch with us. All you need to do is email us at creepykingdom@gmail.com. And you can also leave us a review in the iTunes store. Did you know that?
Ross? I did know that.
Great. Did you leave a review?
I believe I did.
All right, great. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Roxy did it. So could you. Even Roxy can do it.
That's right. Even Roxy. It's simple enough that Roxy can do it. I have faith in you guys. Go prove that you are smarter than Roxy Tart.
Roxy, we have an iTunes review in the UK iTunes store, which we don't readily have access to in the United States.
No, so UK people, if you're leaving us reviews, thank you so much. We don't normally get to see them. We have to have them sent to us.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got a 5-star review in the UK iTunes store that says, "Just because I'm an adult doesn't mean I can't love Disney. This show is a testament to that. There is a more grown-up side to Disney, something creepier, in fact. James is a great host, and I really enjoy his minions that help him out on a regular basis to keep the kingdom running. Great show. Thanks."
That's awesome. That's from MOS6502.
And, like, that pretty much sums up what our show is and what we are. We are grown-ups who love Disney. You do not have to be a child to love Disney, and especially, you know, loving that creepy stuff of Disney. And I had said before the show started that I was going to bring this up, which is good that it's left towards the end, but I love being a minion here on James's show, Creepy Kingdom. It is my life goal to minion for James.
Oh, yes. My minion, Roxy. Mm.
Do my thing. Mm.
I'm only saying this to her because we're on the other sides of the country right now.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Time to end the show.
3,000 miles.
The minion has jelly beans to eat. I can't eat jelly beans while we record. They're sitting in front of me.
Wow, yeah, just taunting you. I know. She's so professional, she will not eat jelly beans.
You're welcome, guys.
But that was an awesome review, and that does some of our show really well. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yep.
If you would like to check out any of our other podcasts, such as the brand new hit podcast, Curvy Kitty Chat, starring myself and Miss Roxy Tart, you can find that show and our other shows by going to monstermoviemedia.com.
And for all things Creepy Kingdom, you can go to creepykingdom.com, where you will find show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay and fan art pics, links to social media like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, Tumblr, and Pinterest, and everything else creepy.
All right. Everything creepy, huh? I don't know about that.
Creepy Kingdom?
Yeah. I don't want to make any false promises. There's a lot of creepy stuff on the internet. You're not going to find it all at creepykingdom.com.
A lot of creepy stuff on the internet. Guys, I don't know what you want. I'm running low on sugar, okay?
All right. Well, you know, it's fine. I mean, it's cool. I mean, I guess, you know, until next time.
Keep it creepy.
I have a girl now. It is midnight. Pleasant dreams.